What powers can one man have against the might of Caesar? What do they fear? What do kings and emperors fear? They fear the people. When they rise up like one man, like one man, like one man.
I want to live in a world of darkness. I want to live in a world of light. I don't want to live in a world of darkness. I want to live in a world of sight.
You have all this. Your home, your servants, influence.
I want to make the world turn around.
Make the world turn around.
Want to make the world turn around.
Want to see all you have worked for in your life lost in an uprising against Rome?
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.
All right, folks, we're back. Incendiary Radio. Dewey Tucker from Truth From God is the guest. Let's take Bill in Idaho, line four. How you doing, Bill?
Excellent broadcast, as usual. Hoping that you have this nice trip back on Reprise at its earliest convenience after he had a chance to debrief Mr. Class, Rod Class. But it goes back to that getting to the punchline. He kind of hit it over to you and you didn't catch. And his, in regard to Pastor Kent Hovind and all the other political prisoners that would necessarily be tempting servants of our Lord King Jesus, yet at the same time the panic button gets hit and we never quite get to the cognitive distance of that very Larkian concept of communitarianism. The question was, and considering the ecclesiastical nature of the spiritual warfare that we're involved in presently, your guest question would be, considering the exactness of your description of how corrupted, for how long, and by whom, considering it would be those that would say they would be, but, and point of fact, we're not. That's an agreed point. Is that correct?
Here's what it is. Today, it is Judeo-Christianism, and they have no problem with that title or dragging their chair up to sit down at a roundtable conference of Christians and Jews. What concord hath Belial with Christ? What agreement is there?
I wanted to make sure that we didn't miss the corporatist nature, fascist corporatist nature of the cognitive dissidents that we are dealing with. And the question ultimately, going back to the worst of the panic button pushes, Dr. Tuscan, was for the guest at that time, but you probably even better qualified considering your profound appreciation of how the corruption of the original or the and the Masoretic would cause that event to be precipitated. Was most curious in regard considering no clean hands and obviously no clean lips. The Pope or the Archbishop of Rome is mandated ecclesiastically by calendar year, lunar year sidereal, to declare a jubilee and yet be in violation of his primary prelate's preferences.
All I know is what the Bible says. Every brand of Christianism, I don't care if it's Catholicism, Baptist, Methodist, Presbyterians. When Martin Luther broke with the universal church, there wasn't a theological change change, if you want to use that word, theology. There wasn't a change in that. What he broke with was all this out-for-profit bunch that was selling everything imaginable. Okay, send us a lot of money, and we'll give you a condolence.
Indulgence.
Luther and Knox, Calvin and those men, struggled with all the doctrine, dogma, that they had been taught. What brought England out from under Rome? The lust of a king. Henry said, Henry VIII, no, I'm not going to have some guy dictate to me on who I can marry and who I can't marry. I'll just become the head of the religion. Well, it's no different than what was set up in 312 A.D. with Constantine I. It was a state religion set up, and it was called Christian. And it's been serving the state ever since. There's no adherence to the Word of God. So, in 1611, the King James boys wanted their work to be authorized, so they proceeded in taking one Greek word, translating it many different ways, and so you get people arguing that when you read the word Hades in the Greek, King James translates it hell and grave. So they get to arguing, oh, well, hell and grave are different. Well, it's just your ignorance of the scriptures. Go back and look it up. It's the same Greek word. But they had an agenda. And their agenda was to promote their religion. Their religion, not God's word, not his truth that he has there. But when Paul told Timothy, study to show yourself approved, he didn't say read it. Study it. There are principles laid down in the Bible, and the first principle will choke to death Christianism, and that is that Yahweh God is in control of all things, or he's in control of nothing.
Amen.
Okay, Jesus, I believe what he said. If he called those Judeans, a particular group of them, that today go by the name Jew, if he said, you are not of God, you are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father you're going to do, I believe him. I believe Jesus when he said in Matthew 23, that they are a race of snakes, in verse 33. And when he gets to 35, he says, you're guilty of all the righteous blood shed upon the earth. And by the time he gets to Revelation 18, and just in case, it was Jesus that gave that revelation to John. And when he gets to 18, chapter 24th verse, he says, in her was found all the blood shed upon the earth. Now, I don't need to be shown that the Jews were behind 9/11 in this country. I already knew that. They're guilty of all the blood shed. I believe what Jesus said. Now, if that don't go along with what the Pope says, or that don't go along with the head of the Southern Baptist Convention, or the head of the Methodist diocese? Well, I don't care. It's all going to fall and it's all going to burn. Jesus said, you know a root by the fruit of the tree. Okay, if the fruit's holy, the root's holy. All I see in Christianism is rottenness. So I know what the root is.
All right, Dewey, let's take another call. Wes in Idaho. What's happening, Wes?
Hello. Hello, Robert. Most interesting guest, or Dewey. I'm trying to pigeonhole Dewey. Maybe I should try and put a label. Is he, does he identify with any particular denomination, or is he perhaps creating one? Welcome, and maybe a good. Can I get a comment on that one?
No, I'm not a member of any denomination, nor am I creating one. I'm not out to build a group.
Okay.
I don't want any followers. I don't want anybody saying, well, Dewey Tucker said, okay, I want to point you into the scripture, the Word of God. You tell me what the Word of God says.
Well, we should maybe put a name on it, but whatever. More. I like hearing most interesting what I'm hearing. Thank you.
All right. Let's bring up Fred in Michigan. What's happening, Fred?
Well, Brother HQ Robert,
what's up, man?
Will always be the case. Your guest tweaks my memory of a guy, classic redneck radio, Billy. He talks about the rednecks of Scotland, 1638. They decided no longer to be slaves of the Vatican British tyranny. And they organized themselves and on the basis in recognizing that the great Creator, Savior, Father, and Son, the name Yahweh is the Father and Yahshua the Son, were being perverted as Yahweh, which is a pagan volcano god, Yahweh. The words Christian and church derived from Circe, a pagan, I don't know, it was a sun, a fertility goddess, some pagan goddess, Circe, also a witch. So when he uses the word Jesus, I had to reflect, Brother Robert, as a Roman Catholic, I did have a religion class, right? And this nun Miriam would instruct us on how to pray. And that's where I caught the phrase, heavenly, majestic, creator, savior, father, son, Yahweh, Yahshua. Okay, and she went on from there. And she said that Jesus, the word Jesus, this guy at Classic Redneck Radio, Billy out of Louisiana, Vidalia, Louisiana, he adamantly insists and provides that, the evidentiary proof that, the term Pig Latin, which I have heard before, derives from the fact that in Latin, Jesus means pig. In Hebrew, it means horse. And he adamantly states that Yahweh the Father would never name his son for a pig or a horse, and that it's the creation. Now, this guy at Classic Redneck Radio, Brother Billy, said that it was the Jesuits who actually fabricated the name Jesus. But when I read the Roman Catholic Bible, I distinctly recall none of the disciples addressed the Messiah as Jesus. They always addressed him as rabbi, teacher, master, etc., never Jesus. So I think there is evidentiary proof. And then you mentioned the fact that the Bibles prior to, well, even the original King James, 1611, which Walmart actually published a 400th edition in 2011, was totally devoid of the word Jesus. So the Geneva Bible, purportedly, I haven't read it, but it purportedly is devoid of Jesus. And Jesus shows up sometime in the 1700s in some edition of the Bible, the 1700s. And anyway, I wouldn't be surprised considering the fact that as a Roman Catholic, I was never told about the Black Pope, the commander-in-chief of the Jesuits, who now occupies the Vatican papacy. There's a lot going down here that's absolutely fascinating, Brother Rob. And I'm glad you got this man on. And I encourage you at some point to interview Brother Billy at Classic Redneck Radio out of the Daily. And I hope your guests will actually check him out, too, because I hear him using the word Jesus and, you know, church and Christian, and I think he needs to clarify the true essence of words.
Well, I go on to Dewey's website, Fred. I mean, it's so huge, and it talks about all these things. And so thanks for the call, Fred.
Give it to me now, Rob, because it's
better. Truthfromgod.com. I mean, there's enough reading on there to do for hours and hours and hours. And so, Dewey, you got any response to Fred's call?
Yeah. As far as the name Jesus, that's just a title. King James transliterates words instead of translating them. So it's not a translation. It's a transliteration. And it comes from the Greek word Iesus. That's where this English word Jesus comes from. Now, it's not Latin. It's Greek. Iesus. It's a compound word made up of two words. Weos, son, and theos, God. Now, that's where it comes from. It is a title, Son of God. But they don't translate it, they transliterate it. Like the word Christian, Christ. That's a transliteration, not a translation. No Christian knows what that word means. They just buy in on a transliteration. Another place that is very vital is King James transliterates Adam. Okay, I transliterate it, now we got Adam. Well, that isn't what the word means. The word Christ is not the last name of Jesus. Okay, everybody runs around and thinks Jesus got a last name. Jesus' name is Yahweh-Shua. That's his name. Now, Iesus, yeah, that's a title. Son of Zeus, son of the Most High God. Well, sure, he is that, son of the Most High God. But he isn't a son of Zeus. He is Yahweh-Shua. And that's the link right back to his father, Yahweh. The Shua part means salvation. He is Yahweh's salvation, Yahweh-Shua. Now, what happened with the Jesuits? Okay, we had the Spanish Inquisition. What was all that about? Well, we got to get rid of the Jews out of our country. So we'll just have our little Inquisition. Well, the Jews got no problem with the religion. So what'd they do to save life and fortune? They all became Christians. And from that point on, you had the establishment of the Jesuits. The Jesuits, okay, isn't that an interesting name? Jesus, the Brotherhood of Jesus, is nothing but a bunch of Jews. All right, they don't have a problem adopting different religions. Oh, well, they can be Muslims. Muslims are not a race, it's a religion. Who's Muslims? Who's their war with? Zionism. You got as many Jews that are Muslims living in Arab countries than you do over there in that lie, Israeli eye.
Hey, Dewey, a lot of people, I mean, a lot of the listeners, they're probably aware of the guy named Sabbatai Zevi, a fake messiah from the 11th century who was forced to convert to Islam. And then once that happened, there was all kinds of craziness that happened with these crypto Jews within Islam and probably the House of Saud and the rest of it. What do you think about all that?
Well, yeah, I mean, they come into anything and everything.
In my so excited to have you as part of the Wild Pastures family, and we look forward to bringing you the pasture-raised meats that you and your family will love. Now, we started Wild Pastures because so many of my clients would tell me they just couldn't find high-quality pasture-raised meats, and even when they did, it was so expensive that they couldn't afford to eat it regularly. Now, I'm not talking about the bottom-of-the-barrel healthy meats that have claims like natural or free-range or even cage-free, terms that were actually created by the industrial food industry to make us feel all warm and fuzzy about buying their low-quality products. I'm talking about truly nourishing pasture-raised meats, the kind that you'll never really find in a grocery store. Our farmers are doing things beyond organic. Our beef is 100% grass-fed and grass-finished and raised on pastures free from chemicals and other pesticides. Our chickens are 100% pasture-raised, where they get their natural diet of grass and forage and insects. We will never settle for free-range, which is actually one of the most deceptive terms in the chicken industry. In fact, less than 0.1% of the chicken consumed in the United States is truly pasture-raised in the way that ours is. And our pork is 100% pasture-raised as well. So if you care about where your food comes from, then you have definitely made it to the right place. As a Wild Pastures member, you'll be supporting the most highly principled farmers in America and getting the most nutrient-dense, nourishing, and sustainable meats in the world. I'm confident you'll love being part of our mission at Wild Pastures, and you will really love the delicious, nourishing meats that we're going to deliver straight to your door.
Visit republicbroadcasting.org and click the Wild Pastures banner ad. Secure a shipment today. Beef, poultry, and pork. Raised the way nature intended.
Are you one of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs? For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste for the price of a cup of coffee.
Hemppaste.com/RBN. Free shipping on orders over $50. See the banners for hemp paste at republicbroadcasting.org and visit hemppaste.com/RBN.
Hello, hello, hello from beautiful Colorado. My name is Samuel Jung Kay, and I am currently the lead Shilajit hunter and master herbalist for Colorado Shilajit Company. In this video series, I will be discussing what we believe is the greatest of all adaptogenic superfoods and the single greatest natural healing remedy gifted to us by Mother Earth. I think you too will become as excited by this incredible substance called Shilajit as we were and are after our discovery of this amazing gift right here in beautiful, colorful Colorado. You may already know Shilajit by other names: Shilajit, Momio, Momi, Mami, Mineral Pitch, Asphaltum, and others. Shilajit literally translates to destroyer of weakness and conqueror of mountains. Shilajit has been in use for thousands of years and is considered as the highest valued cure-all of any earthly substance.
Look for the gold mountain and medical symbol logo in banners on republicbroadcasting.org to watch the full video and see more information. Use code GORBN when ordering. That's G-O-R-B-N.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
This is Elizabeth McCabe, a.k.a. Lucky One of Truth Frequency News. I wanted to tell you all about Extendivite from HeartDrop.com. Y'all know I check everything before I air it. When I heard about Extendivite on TFR, I went to HeartDrop.com and started my research. It's got cayenne. That's good for blood and circulation. It stimulates the blood flow. It's got garlic, which fights bacteria like antibiotics, and it lowers the cholesterol and blood pressure. It also has milk thistle, which is the best detox for liver. I couldn't wait to try it out, and I'm glad I did 4 months ago. And here's obvious results. My hands and feet don't get cold anymore. The varicose veins have faded too. My wrists don't hurt after typing all day. Now, I tell you all this because it's true and I want you to really live life. Try Extendivite. Go to heartdrop.com and order it.
Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2 month supply of either capsules or liquid. Call now. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Can one man have against the might of Caesar? What do they fear? What do kings and emperors fear? They fear the people when they rise up like one man, like one man, like one man.
They take both sides of any issue. Okay, well, we'll take, become Muslims, we'll stay Zionist, we'll get this war going. Okay, it's the same group on both sides. Well, you see that in America.
We'll take some more calls if anybody wants to call in. 1-800-313-9443. Theory Radio, my guest, Dewey Tucker, truthfromgod.com, and he does a talk shoe program, and you can go on truthfromgod.com and then click on the talk shoe, and you can get to his archives and all that. I wanted to throw one thing else out there. Spain, you know, the real epicenter of Sephardic Jewry. This is where Loyola and the Jesuits come out of, but it's also where Opus Dei comes out of. Opus Dei, God's work in Latin. This Monsignor Escriva, who had a love affair with the Talmud and Judaism. So you got the Jesuits come out of Spain and Opus Dei. And if you want to dig into Opus Dei, go to opusdeialert.com. And it really gets into the Opus Dei's Talmudic rabbis and this movement within Catholicism that's totally real screwball and everything else. So some weird stuff comes out of Spain, and that's basically Sephardic Jewry's main home, you know, in the Middle Ages and so forth. I wanted to read a couple scriptures to Dewey and bounce them off of him real quick. So let's see. Galatians 5:1, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. And then Romans 14:2, for one believeth that he may eat all things, another, who is weak, eats herbs. Let not him that eateth despise him that eateth not, and let not him which eateth not judge him that eateth. And then let's see here, 1 Timothy 4, let's see. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry, and commanding to abstain from meats, which God has created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good, and nothing to be refused if it be received with thanksgiving. Colossians 2:14-16, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross, and having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, over them in it. Let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink or in respect of a holy day or the new moon or of the Sabbath days. Where are you at with all that kind of stuff, Dewey? I mean, it's some pretty interesting things there.
I've got no problem with any of it.
I was just wanting to bounce this thing off of you about these this Judaizer movement out here today, trying to make people that read the New Testament, it seems like they want to diminish the power of the New Covenant and keep looking back to the old one like it's superior or something.
Well, there's no difference. Okay, what'd he do? He built upon the covenant. What covenant? Well, we'll call it the Old Covenant. He didn't do away with it. There's only one reference to a new covenant. You need to go read Jeremiah 31:31-34, and you find out who he made that new covenant with, and it's a race of people. Not all races. Well, I know that goes against church dogma because, oh, as a matter of fact, that little verse you read, look up that word, ordinances. You find out where our English word dogma comes from. It comes from that Greek word dogma. It's a transliteration. That's all we got going on today is a lot of dogma.
Let me ask you about this one, Galatians 3:28, where it talks about neither Jew nor Greek, bond nor free, male or female, all being one in the Messiah.
Okay.
How do you look at that?
Look up that word Jew. It's Judean. It has to do with a geographical location, just like Greek.
Uh-huh.
Okay, it's not a race. Oh, well, that's a Greek race. Go to Greece. Look at who the citizenry is, and you will not see one race of people there. Come to America, the United States. What do you see? Oh, well, we're Americans. It's got nothing to do with race. Just like the Greek word ethnos is not a racial word. As a matter of fact, from that Greek word, ethnos, we get an English word, ethics. Now, is ethics a racial word?
We got a couple other callers. John from Chicago on line 3. You got a question or a comment for Dewey?
Hey, Robert, that's me, Golden Dawn Media, the guy who was emailing you. Hello, Dewey, how are you?
Okay.
No, I've been a student of the University of Dewey now for almost 2 years. What we want to do, Robert, is because you go down this road and you talk about the white genocide and things like that, and when the understanding that people have to get from Dewey is the wisdom that Dewey, you had somebody new to the program call in to talk to you about a month ago, talking about how he felt compelled to defend the white race against everything, and you spoke with just unbelievable wisdom when you said the whole body has to move as a whole, meaning the Elohim. Because, you know, Robert, he's making the point. All white people are not Elohim. You know, the Elohim are God's children that he took out of himself. He sent them down here. They went into white Adamic bodies, meaning they can blush in the face. But not all people are Elohim. So you've got your criminals, your psycho Nazis, your child rapists, your other people like that. They're white, but we don't want to get behind those people, and we don't want to have the opposite of a race in this country where the white people started. And that's what I'm worried about. And what Dewey is saying is that the Elohim, you know, we see the white genocide, but we got to get our root in the scriptures. We got to have our maturity and the whole body. If we're moved by the Spirit, if Yahweh says, do what the Founding Fathers did and have a revolution, then the whole body will move as a whole. But where we are on Yahweh's timeline as far as the end of time, we don't know where that is. So the whole thing is we feel the economic pressure. We see the white genocide. We see blacks getting pitted against whites, and everybody's getting eager to do something. And Dewey's sitting there going, hold on a second. Don't be stupid, because you're going to run up the hill and you're going to get yourself killed. Yahweh is running the entire show from up, you know, where he's at.
Well, you know, I hear what you're saying. You know, what's fascinating is this thing where people, you know, Jews view themselves collectively as God on earth, their own Messiah, etc., etc. I could pick out five black cults right now, the Five Percenters, the Black Hebrew Israelites, the Nation of Islam. They all view themselves as God collectively, too. And, you know, for me to go down that road and say, yes, white people collectively are some sort of, like, as God, you know, I view white people as just the biggest sinners as anybody else. And where are you at with that, Dewey? And I know where John's, and I kind of heard that from you, but I don't see anything different in white people, like somehow they're not sinners and they're not wicked.
Patriotically speaking, it's okay to defend borders, language, and culture, but America has let these Jews in here, and Dewey will tell you, Benjamin Franklin, or you even said it on your show, Robert.
Oh, he gave a stern warning. Yeah, I know.
Don't let these people in the country. Well, now they've come in. They've mongrelized. Look what we've got in the White House.
Hey, I mean, Cornwallis, when he made some very crazy predictions. I mean, really right on predictions, too, didn't he, Dewey, General Cornwallis of the British?
Well, that's what they say.
Okay. I've read that.
The truth of the matter is that there is the fundamental principle, God is in control of all things. All things. Everything going on.
I agree with that.
Ain't not some big man sitting on the sidelines in heaven twiddling his thumbs. You know, well, he got to get up and do something. It's craziness.
Yeah, well, I think everything's moving along
How do you learn? You learn from hard lessons.
Yeah.
Easy come, easy go. Hard lessons learned are never forgotten. And God is giving us a lesson that will burn us so bad, we will never forget it. And when these people get up in these pulpits with all their snake oil and start talking about the fatherhood of God, they'll kill them on the spot. There are only two things that exist. Yahweh, God's creation, and his children that he took out of himself in the heavens before the foundation of the world and wrote their names in the book, a book of life. And you can go read it in Revelation 13:8 and 17:8. Okay, my preacher don't go there. Well, I understand that. He's not going to go to John 17. He's not going to go to Romans 8, except half of a little verse. Okay, we got little Romans 8:28. Get half of that verse and ignore the rest of it. All things work together for good to them that love God. Okay, what does the rest of it say? To them who are called. Called by who? The Pope? No. Called by God, according to his purpose, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate. Now, everybody go choke and gag and puke and moan and cry. God's got a plan. The ones he's touching today, he's making alive. And it's changing their life. Everybody runs around, oh, we got to tell everybody the truth. The truth will make you free. Well, that's another perversion. They didn't talk in the Bible. Go to read John 8. Read 31 and 32. Jesus, Yahweh, said, if you continue in my word, then you shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Christianism's concept of Jesus, there's no room for a man that would make a whip and beat people. But my Bible teaches the very fact that he not only beat them, he drove them out, overturned everything, threw it out, and said, all you all have done is turn a house of prayer into a den of thieves and merchandise. Okay, got them all hooked on money, a particular kind of money, Jew money, Federal Reserve money, all run by the Jews, not the federal government. It's got no more to do with the federal government than the Federal Tire and Battery Company. In 1913, when they passed that law, on December the 24th, all the senators, all the congressmen gone home for Christmas, so they didn't ask for a quorum vote, they just voted it on a majority. And not only did they pass the Federal Reserve Act and establish a private banking system over this nation, how are they going to collect the debt they create for us? Okay, same thing, same day, same law went in as a Federal Reserve Act. Also, there was a law that went in as the Income Tax Act. Now we'll get our money. We'll get it away from you before you ever get it.
Hey, Dewey, guess what else was passed that same year? What was created? The Anti-Defamation League of B'nai B'rith.
But they've run everything. I mean, Alexander Hamilton wasn't here by himself. Alexander Hamilton represented a strong force that dominated. Matter of fact, they had two different names. One was called Federalism, and the other Republicanism. Well, nobody knows what the difference is between a republic and a democracy, which proves how ignorant they are of where our nation started and where it is today. It's just like Christianism. Today, there are more Christians in the world than have ever been. As a matter of fact, there's more evil in the world than has ever been, and nobody seems to be able to hook it up. As Christianity increases, so does evil. One-third of the population is Christian. Can you imagine if one-third of the world's population was righteous, what it would be like?
Hey, now, Dewey, we got a lot of time left. I want to cover some concepts with you and bounce them off you and see where you're at. The mark of the beast. Tell me about the mark of the beast as far as how you see it.
Well, yeah, the beast marks his. Well, Yahweh had already marked his in Revelation 7. When you go to a football game, don't you, they give you a program, and isn't each team marked? Oh, well, that beast is going to mark God's. Well, that's a big joke. God didn't send his children, Elohim, in here to get marked up by any beast.
So the Greek word for mark in the New Testament, Revelation 13, is charagma, right?
Yeah, well, he marks them.
Is this a spiritual mark, or is this going to be a physical, or what? Where are you at on that?
Oh, well, I've heard all kinds of things. Well, they're going to put computer chips in you.
Yeah.
You know, they're going to, before there was computers, what were they going to do? They was going to brand you.
Yeah, barcode you.
Okay, well, they already done it. It's called mind washing, brainwashing. But in Revelation 18, Yahweh calls his people out of it. He says, come on now. They'll come out. It isn't up to them any more than when Jesus is talking in John 10, I call my sheep out and they come out. I know their name. And I lead them out. Why is he leading them out in Revelation 18? Why, you don't have nothing to do with that. Come on out. Okay.
Let me ask you one more question, Dewey. The great horror of Revelation. You spoke like that was the Jewish entity. Is that your take on the great horror, the woman that rides the beast, or where are you at on that?
Well, sure. It's Babylon. Isn't that what it tells you?
Sure, but Peter said Rome was Babylon, kind of in his code of language.
Peter said no such a thing.
I thought I read that somewhere.
No, Peter said Paul is an apostle to the nations. I stay here in Judea, and I'm writing to you from the ecclesia in Babylon. Peter never went to Rome. And not one verse of Scripture says Peter ever went to Rome. Peter stayed in that area. Oh, but the church says, oh, he was the first pope. I don't care what the church says.
Now, let me ask you this one. Where I think it's Revelation 11, Sodom in Egypt, the city where our Lord was crucified.
Right. It's all of it rolled up into one.
All right. So Tel Aviv, Jerusalem's basically you're basically that's your.
That's what I read in the Bible. Now, I mean, that's not church dogma.
Well, right. You know, the Protestants believe a lot. You know, a lot of the Protestant church fathers believe that it's the Pope of Rome and so forth and so on. I wanted to get your take on that.
Well, I believe what Revelation 13:11 says. Okay, you ask these people, and they'd say, well, there's a beast. It's got 7 heads, 10 horns, and that beast this and that and the other. You say, well, what about the other beast? Oh, what beast? The other one. Well, read Revelation 13, you find that one they want to talk about came up out of the sea. And they don't even understand what Revelation 21 is all about. When it says, I looked up, saw the New Jerusalem descending out of heaven, and there was no more sea, S-E-A. Okay, well, we can't read more than one verse at a time, and then we got to let the church tell us what that means. Every symbol in God's Word is defined by God's Word. You don't have to go outside and read other books. I know what his sheep are. It's defined.
Let me ask you this one. Seeing all the things going on the planet, how far out do you think we are? You know, just I'm not asking you to set dates, but how long do you see humanity continuing without this, the rest of the, let's say, the prophecies coming to pass?
Long time. How long was Israel slaves down in Egypt? As a matter of fact, they never left Egypt, except God killed all the firstborn in Egypt, males, and that pertained to people and animals. And the Egyptians were scared to death and gave the Israelites money, gold, and all that, and drove them out. Or they'd still been slaves down there. If you want to know how far we are in the plan of God, go read Luke 15 about the prodigal son.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the first thing he does, he gets his stuff, he goes off in a foreign country and wastes his substance on riotous living. We didn't finish wasting our substance. Then came a famine. Then he joined himself to the citizen of the far country. Then he wound up in the hog pen, and all he could get was whatever he could take away from them hogs. And he didn't mind the hogs. Okay, they're my companions. But at some point he realized he couldn't get enough from them. He's starving to death. I'm going to die here. And at that very moment, he came to himself. We're still hung back in. We ain't finished wasting our substance yet. Then comes the famine. Then we join up, and then we get to live in the hog pen, and that's the brotherhood of man. Okay, I'm just like them hogs, because I'm going to eat the same slop. I'm going to get to rooting around just like them, smelling like them, and being as wretched as they are. Oh, we got a ways to go yet.
So, do you keep up with the goings on, like Fukushima over in Japan and so forth and so on, Dewey?
I don't care what's going on.
Oh, so okay, so
I know where we are.
Yeah.
Okay, well, go read Matthew 24. He outlines everything that's going to go on. Okay, he'll shorten the days for the elect's sake. But there's somebody else spoken of there. He said, and if it were possible, the very elect would be deceived. It's the very elect that Yahweh God's touching today, waking them up, giving them insight. Now, the names may be changed, the events remain the same. I don't care what you're watching, which news broadcast, from one month to the next, only the names change. Everything else is still the same, and what is it? Fear, fear, fear. Get everybody panicking, because then you can drive them wherever you want. The church has used that, been a great tool for the church. Scare everybody to death. If you don't say three magic words, I accept Jesus, then you're going to burn in hell forever and ever, and that's not enough. You got to join our denomination, or else that don't count. You say your little three magic words, join us, give you money, give you time, and support the church. And when they say the church, they mean their deal, not the ecclesia. Ecclesia is not church. Now, King James translates that word church. Greek had another name for this thing called the church today, and it was kurikon. That's a building. You ask somebody, where you go to church? As if it's some place you can go. The ecclesia's no place you can go. They don't even know what it means. They don't know what Christian means. They don't know what Messiah means. Those are all transliterations. Okay, look up the word Messiah in the Old Testament. Every time it will be translated, anointed, except two places in the ninth chapter of Daniel, they transliterate it, Messiah. Then you turn over to John, the first chapter, look at the 41st verse. It says, we have found the Christ, by interpretation, Messiah. That's anointed. That's what the word, Greek word, Christ means. Anointed. So it's not a translation. It's a transliteration. You think these people running around today claim to be Christian? You think they're going to tell you they're the anointed of God? Well, some head of some religious hierarchy, like the Pope might say, oh, yeah, I was. I'd like to know when Yahweh God anointed you. I want to know what he anointed you for. Did he anoint you to promote homosexuality and cover it up? Did he anoint you to preach and teach all things that are a perversion of Yahweh God? Is that what you're anointing for? Well, maybe. Jesus said when he was teaching the disciples and they couldn't focus on him, started looking all around, and they said, well, but what about them? Jesus said, leave them alone. They be blind leaders of the blind. They lead the blind into the ditch. All the blind have to have blind leaders to take them where they got to go. They got to go to the ditch.
Do we wrap it up? We've got probably 3 minutes, 4 minutes left.
All right, here's the wrap-up.
Okay, go ahead.
I'm going to give you two principles, and it's going to change everything when you got them. Number one, Yahweh God's in control of all things. And number two, there are only two things that exist. Yahweh God's creation, and Yahweh God's children Elohim. And no creation can become Elohim, and Elohim do not become creation. He took them out of himself before the foundation of the world. He sent them into the earth to establish a harmony in earth. And if you'll go read Romans 9:18, 19, and 20, all the creation's waiting on is for the Elohim to learn their lessons, grow up, and manifest righteousness. Okay, the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. The creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of hope. For he that made the creation subject to vanity gave them a hope that they would be delivered from this bondage of corruption. But that's done by Yahweh's children, his adult children. Not all his children are adults. Not all his children are going to make up the administrative body of his kingdom. No kingdom is made up of all its citizenry being government administrators. They're the very elect of Yahweh. So that's just some fundamental principles, and it's from Genesis through Revelation.
Well, it's been an interesting conversation we've had, Dewey. I think a lot of the listeners like to hear you, and so give out your talk show information. What time you do your show?
It's at 2 o'clock Eastern on Saturday, and the call ID is 129934. And we run an open mic in that we may have 18 callers on the line, and they're all on at the same time. Not counting, we may have another 40 or so in a chat room. We are there to discuss the scriptures. That's what we do.
Well, I just want to thank one of my listeners, Kelso. I think that was John from Chicago. He's the one that emailed me and told me about your website, truthfromgod.com, and they can find that on the Talk Shoe button.
Also, Robert, I want to mention one thing. You were wanting to know about the names. Yahweh, Yahweshua, and Elohim. I got a message on that on the website. Watch it. You'll see where everything comes from.
All right. Well, there's the music. Dewey, I want to thank you for coming on, and I'm sure the listeners enjoyed hearing you. And, you know, there's a lot of reading on that website. And so truthfromgod.com.
Saying, little miss, you rue the day. You rue the day that you were born. Forgiving me the devil cause I wouldn't hold corn.
Listening to Real Talk Radio, only on the Republic Broadcasting Network.